Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up? So glad to have you. It is Thursday. We're inching closer and closer to the NFC and AFC Championship game. You're listening to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We will get to some Travis Kelce sound in just a moment. But Perloff, you have a theory on why Frank Reich was hired by the Carolina Panthers.
Okay. I think to the average NFL fan, when it was announced that the Panthers hired Frank Reich, the question was, why?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fair question.
And you always say this. When you hire somebody, you want the exact opposite of your last hire. So in many ways, Frank Reich is the opposite of when the Panthers hired Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was the hottest candidate on the market. He was a college coach, and he wasn't particularly an offensive or defensive coach. He was a generalist. Now, Frank Reich is the opposite. Nobody wanted him. He's coming out of Indy. He had nothing to do with college, and he's an offensive coordinator, play caller type. He's the opposite of Matt Rhule. They just wanted someone in there that's going to run a functional NFL offense.
Yeah.
It's so boring, but it's the opposite of Matt Rhule, which was a sort of a swing for the fences out of the Panthers and David Tepper. And now they're going to just safe medium. Now, I don't know if that's good, but don't you think those two guys are very, very different?
In the amount of heat around them, yes. Like, there's no heat around Frank Reich right now.
Their skills. Matt Rhule was not a play caller on either side of the ball
at
any point. Frank Reich is very specifically, basically generic offensive coordinator, play caller guy.
How funny is it where one guy gets a head coaching job, okay? Frank Reich. But the bigger story is the offensive coordinator getting hired for the Jets because it's Nathaniel Hackett. And now everyone's connecting dots that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on his way to the New York Jets. It is crazy to me how people are making those leaps. And I love connecting dots, and I love doing that. Speculating is one of the most fun parts of our job. But Denver just did this, and it not blew up in their faces. If Russell Wilson can get his career back together, it might end up being fine. But it just, like, failed in Denver. Why would the Jets think that Aaron Rodgers is now on his way to New York because they hired Nathaniel Hackett? And if that's the way the Jets are thinking, then that's stupid, because you just got proven that it doesn't matter where Hackett goes. Rodgers is making his decisions by himself.
Actually, I don't think so. I think that it didn't work with Denver, but that doesn't mean it won't work again. Clearly, Rodgers was looking at Denver, because remember Denver, Rodgers came out and said, I've decided I'm not going to go to Denver, in so many words. So he obviously thought about it. Maybe this is different. Can't hurt. And besides, if Rodgers does come, then he's had success with Hackett. It's a lot better than Mike LaFleur did last year. So I don't know. What's the downside here? He's like Frank Reich. He's an experienced NFL play caller. He's not going to be able to kill the team as the OC. He might have been able to do that as a head coach. But I don't know what the...
It's not like his offenses were lighting the world on fire here.
I mean, at least he's had three top five offenses with Green Bay, and it's not bad.
I'm sorry. I can't do this, because we've seen it so many times where the offensive coordinators for these amazing quarterbacks, like, who is it? Is it you? Is it them? Look at Josh McDaniels. Yeah, you can have all the success in the world with Tom Brady. You look like you're lighting the world on fire. You're amazing. You go to Las Vegas, did look the same. I mean, and it's not like Derek Carr's a scrub of a quarterback, and you had all the weapons in the world. So it's like McDaniels. It's like Adam Gase, who, you know, the Jets stupidly hired because they called Peyton Manning. Like, who? Peyton Manning's offense coordinator. What does that person even do besides give Peyton Manning coffee?
But here's the thing, that you're talking about OCs who are hired as head coaches. That has not worked out a lot. But this is a head coach who's going back to OC. Where are you going to get? You're going to have to either get an experienced play caller who's available because he didn't win the Super Bowl, or otherwise it'd be a head coach, or a young guy. I saw that some team is interviewing another Rams assistant. Who's this team? The Rams assistant is honing in on a job. How do you know that this Rams assistant is good? He's not just learning from Sean McVay or getting a lot of credit for Sean McVay. There's no perfect hire. There's nobody out there. This is an offensive coordinator. It's not head coach.
Okay, this is why I think one of the underrated things about hiring a head coach is always who are the coordinators you're going to bring with you. Because Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, brought Mike LaFleur, who was one of his best friends. They grew up in the system together. They're all part of Shanahan and the Kubiak sort of tree. And now they had to get rid of him because the offense wasn't going and he couldn't get Zach Wilson on track. So that's it? Now you're out. Who else do you... I mean, I think that they did coach together maybe in Jacksonville. Saleh and Hackett may have overlapped there.
I read their friends.
They're friends. But it's like, okay, are we sure that, you know, you're going to be... that you're bringing in Hackett now, that he's going to be the guy to turn this around? Because I got a newsflash for that coaching staff. You don't have a quarterback right now, and Rodgers is a bit of a long shot. If you don't turn it around next year, everyone's getting fired.
So who would you have hired?
I don't know.
Of course you don't, because it's a complete crapshoot.
I also haven't spent a whole my lifetime coaching in the NFL where I have relationships and connections with people. I think it's a real pipe dream here for the Jets to think that because they got Hackett that Rodgers is coming.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I disagree in the sense that I think there is a good chance. I'm just going to run down quickly. I just want to hear your opinion. Is this a good offensive coordinator? Ken Dorsey.
TBD. Don't ask me today. I can't answer
Bill that. O'Brien, the new Patriots hire.
In the NFL, yeah.
We'll see. Matt Canada, Pittsburgh.
He came under a lot of fire. Although Pickett ended the year playing well.
No, come on. Alex Van Pelt, Cleveland. Brian Callahan, Cincinnati. He's done really well, but he's a lifer. I'm just saying, most of these... based on your definition, almost all these people were failures. Otherwise, they'd be head
failures.
Yes, if you're an offensive coordinator and you're not 29 years old, failed at head coaching.
No. My big thing is we can poke holes in Hackett's resume and do all of that, but my big thing is thinking that just because you hired him means you're going to get Aaron Rodgers. The Denver Broncos just made this mistake. Why would you do this again?
At least you're getting an experienced play caller. You're not going to get Mike Kafka or Shane Steichen or one of these young guys because they want a head coaching job. They're not going to go lateral.
Kafka. How many touchdowns did Daniel Jones have this year? You always bring this
up. Well, Kafka's an Eagles guy, so I love him.
Now you like him.
He's an Andy Reid guy. He's more an Eagles guy than a Giants guy. He's a good coach.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Get to the Kelsey sound in just a moment. Keith is in Tucson, though, wants to talk about his coaching cycle. What's up, Keith?
So you got to look at it from both points of view now, because true, the coordinator needs a decent quarterback, but also a quarterback needs a good coordinator. Look at Josh Allen when he lost Daywall. So, and I'll give Hackett, I think he totally he's a wash as a head coach. But this man took Blake Bortles and the Jaguars to a conference championship game. So he's a good coordinator. I just don't think he's a head coach. Yeah. But I think both sides need each other. It's definitely a marriage.
You're right. Of course. Like, you want to, and when you find a good marriage, like when, you know, you get like Kyle Shanahan with one of his quarterbacks, or you get Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, then you can make some really good magic.
By the way, let me ask a question to Miss Bills here. Did Josh Allen really fall off that much?
No, I didn't think so.
He was kind of the same. I remember during the game they said that there was almost identical offensive stats from year to year, although they did come up short in the big moment where last year with Dable. It does feel like something was missing without Dable there.
Well, he also hurt his elbow, though, midway through the season.
Yeah, and
so
he still had a higher rating this year than last year, so who knows?
Which is interesting. Let's go to Cody's in California. What's up, Cody?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing excellent. What do you have?
Excellent. Okay. Hypothetically speaking, say you're both, I'm asking both you guys this question. I want to hear both your answers. If you were Aaron Rodgers, who would you rather play for? Would you rather play for an offensive coordinator like Hackett, or would you want to throw to a receiver you used to throw to all the time for, you know, touchdowns there for Devontae Adams on the Raiders?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, I mean, and if I were him, I'd go with Adams.
I got one more for you, too, if you don't mind, and I'll get off the air. If quarterback for the Vegas Raiders, who would you rather have, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Jimmy G? And I'll take your answer off the air. I really appreciate you guys taking my call. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Can I answer? Yeah. Jets, if I'm the Jets, I want Rodgers, not Brady. If I'm the Raiders, I still want Rodgers, Brady second. And then Jimmy G's third in both those for me. But by the way, I would take Hackett and the Jets because he'd have to learn a new system under Josh McDaniels, and I feel very Favre to the Jets. That worries me a lot.
Yeah, actually. The whole learning the new system.
If it is a new system, I don't know. I'm not totally familiar with McDaniels' offense. It probably is different, right?
I would imagine. And also, it didn't seem like it was that easy for Derek Carr to learn it. And no. I think Derek Carr is like a pretty sharp guy. I don't think he's, like a lughead or something.
Yeah,
he can't grasp the offense.
Well, and also, if Rodgers has to learn a new system, we're not going to give him time to do it. We're going to be on top of him immediately. Then again, Russell Wilson couldn't learn Hackett's offense or something went wrong.
Something will we ever know exactly what went wrong? You guys know what I said. We talked about this, about Rodgers versus Brady for the Raiders. I thought Brady, because you don't have to trade any picks for him, and he already knows McDaniel's offense. But yesterday we talked to Tim Brown, the Hall of Famer, who said, don't look, if you're the Raiders, do not look at Brady. Do not make him part of your plans, was Tim Brown's quote, because he thinks Brady's gotten too old. Our buddy, Big Dave, is in Kentucky. What's up, Dave?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
on the Jets hire, I'm not defending the hire, but and I totally understand your point with Hackett, Maggie, because he was a disaster as a head coach. But, you know, the difference between being a head coach and a coordinator is just huge. I mean, as a matter of fact, most head coaches that are promoted, there's a few exceptions, but were really good coordinators before they were promoted. But listen, if I agree with you totally. If the reasoning behind hiring him was thinking that you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, I mean, unless you had some sort of top secret information that obviously you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, there is no such thing. Sometimes I think he doesn't know what's going on in his own head. But anyway, real quick, one other thing on the playoff picture this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I detest everything that's Eagles. I mean, to me, the Philadelphia Eagles fans are the equivalent of the University of Tennessee fans on a professional level. I mean, they're just like that gum on the bottom of your shoe, when you get out of a bus. But anyway, I think they're going to curb stomp San Francisco.
Wow.
I don't think it'll be close. Yeah, I'm thinking two touchdowns or more. And the AFC Championship game, I think, is setting up to be one of the most riveting. Listen, the point spread is going up and down like a yo-yo. I mean, it's going from one team to the other. I think that had it not been for Mahomes' injury, I don't think that the Bengals could have beaten them three times this year, four times in a row. But I just think that's the counterbalance, man. I think this is a crapshoot, and I can't wait to watch it. Thanks, guys.
Man, Big Dave, appreciate you.
I like his honesty that he doesn't like the Eagles and yet still thinks they're going to kill the Niners. So, obviously, he's saying that
two touchdowns.
He really means it. Yeah.
He also said Eagles fans were equivalent to the gum on the bottom of your shoe as you walk off a bus.
I mean, is he referring to all Eagles fans or just the collective? Because if he's referring to each individual fan,
there's really no
difference. That was a shade. That was a backhanded, underhand.
It's a bit of a compliment from a Cowboys fan. You know, to say, for a Cowboys fan to say how much they hate it, that they're thinking about us so much, we're basically the gum on the bottom of their shoe. We are in their heads.
Is that what that is? You paying attention to the gum on the bottom of your shoe?
Well, I mean, Dave, if you're listening, you obviously are getting a lot more watching experience with the Eagles. You get to watch them a lot longer into the postseason than your Cowboys.
There you go.
Therefore, they're on your mind a lot.
You got them.
I got him.
Dave's the best.
Zing.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Wait, I'm sorry. Jets fan, Raiders fan, Bills fan. Is anyone else alive in the playoffs? So don't give me zing.
Yeah.
I have the right to brag right now.
Nathaniel Hackett. Two words. That's all. Drop the mic.
Yeah. Shouldn't have kicked that 64-yarder, bud.
Not
your call anymore. Thank God.
Every time we're talking about, he probably should have kicked that because now a 64-yarder is like what a 38-yarder used to be. But that's besides the point. Every time we talk about the Raiders and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, Stu has a look on his face like, it's just not going to work. You look so resigned about this team. Is there any hope at all?
There's no hope because they're in on Brady and Rodgers allegedly, and they're going to end up with neither of them. They're going to end up with Jimmy G or some bad rookie quarterback, or maybe even Stidham. Who knows? It's just not going to work out. I know it.
Well, we heard from Tim Brown yesterday. I referenced it once already. I'll do it again. If it's a rookie quarterback, He doesn't think Davante Adams is going to be too happy about that.
No.
And Devontae's saying all the right things, especially when parted ways. He said all the right things, but I agree with the Hall of Famer on this one. I think Adams is going to be kind of ticked off.
I don't think a rookie makes any sense, because it's not just that. They got Max Crosby and Chandler Jones on defense. What are you going to go for, Anthony Richardson, and wait 6 years to get it somewhere? It doesn't make any sense to me.
855-212-4CBS. Now I've teased the Kelsey sound like too much. We're going to play it because it's really good. We also have your list of concerns going into the NFC and AFC championship games. All that comes your way in just a moment. Don't move more, Maggie and Perloff. We are on CBS Sports Radio across this great country. We are on Sirius XM as well. We're on the free Odyssey app. And right now we are streaming live on youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. The chat is crazier than ever. So we notice that every time the hour goes to 20 pass, most people in the chat are like hitting a bong. No judgment. So I've called them lovingly, Perloff. You guys are a bunch of stone cold weirdos. Now they're a bunch of weedos. So the official Maggie and Perloff chat is now the weedos. Congrats. Maggie and Perloff, don't move. We're back in a sec.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free, all on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Maggie, you've been teasing this Kelsey sound.
I know.
Do you realize if the Eagles and the Chiefs advanced,
yeah,
the Kelsey-ness of the Super Bowl week would be insane, because their podcast, The Heights, has exploded.
Yeah.
They are... Even though they're both veterans and they've been around for a long time, their popularity and Q rating is higher than probably any two players in the league. It is just going to be a Kelsey party if those teams advance.
Yeah, and you know, it's so much better, though, when it was the Harbaughs coaching against each other.
No.
Remember Jim and John? It was just like, oh, all right. This will be way better.
This will be way better. Yeah, that was not fun at all.
That's what I'm saying. That wasn't fun at all.
Oh, yeah,
this will be great.
No funness to it?
They didn't want to have fun. They're Harbaughs. Yeah. I don't know if they know how to have fun. Unless they're drinking milk somewhere.
What, they unpleat their khakis or something?
Okay, so this started with Mike Hilton, and it started with the Cincinnati Bengals now have a new nickname for the Chiefs' home field.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Let that sink in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
It's cute. It's clever. Do we know who exactly made it up? We want to give them credit.
Oh.
Who on the Bengals?
Did somebody say a mayor said it?
The mayor said it the other day, but I don't think he made it up.
I think the players started it.
I know Joe Mixon said it at another point as well, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I knew Joe Mixon was going to say something like that. This feels like a Joe Mixon creation.
Well, all right. So now you had Travis Kelce, who's talking on the podcast that he does with his brother Jason. And New Heights, thank you. And they talked about it.
Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week, because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
Bulletin board material. Perloff doesn't believe in it. He doesn't think it exists. I definitely do. You think it's disrespectful because... professional athletes should already be fired up on the max. I totally believe in bulletin board material.
For a conference title game?
I mean, I believe guys are playing hard, but I believe like there's something different about like playing hard and wanting to play your best and then feeling like someone disrespected you. I mean, Michael Jordan played this note his whole career.
No, I agree. I do think that players create bulletin board material. But as far generally, I do not I do not like the Bengals calling it Burrowhead. I think that's crazy. That is just not the smart thing to say. But it seems to work for the Bengals, who are completely oblivious to that kind of thing.
They've kind of turned, like, the Bengals have turned, I think, from, like, scrappy underdogs to, like, sort of villains. Like, Eli Apple can't stop talking smack. He, you know, has not been the most likable guy. And then now the Burrowhead stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mixon talks a lot of smack.
He talks a lot of smack.
Burrow looks like a bad guy from an 80s comedy. He's always kind of had that look. And I think also, too,
the bad boyfriend or something.
I understand that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are probably fairly humble, but they smoke those cigars and they've won a lot of football games.
They look good doing it, though.
They look kind of cocky.
Yeah. I think they've earned it, though.
Totally. But my point is they could be perceived as bad guys pretty easily. As sort of the team, they say things like Burrowhead, whereas everyone loves all of it. I mean, how can you not love the Kelseys? You have to love Travis. And who doesn't love Patrick Mahomes? The guy's a bath bomb guy in the progressive ads. Nobody doesn't like Patrick Mahomes.
It's true. He's 100% likability. I thought this was funny from Kelsey.
Getting everybody fired up.
Getting everybody fired up.
Getting everybody fired up.
It sounded, I don't know. I'm not sure what it sounded like, but I needed to hear it again. Let's go to Vinny, who's in Tampa, wants to talk about Perloff's Eagles. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What do you have on the Eagles?
A couple of different things. For everyone out there that's listening, that is talking about the Eagles, how they're not going to do anything. I just want to mention something. In 2017, if you look at the Super Bowl team that we had, defense, offense, either way you look at it, and look at the team that we have on paper right now, and it's like not even comparable. Like the team we have right now is like, if there was an all Madden category for, like, you know, the video game, I would consider the Super Bowl team the Eagles had, you know, rookie, and then the team we have now, all Madden.
Listen, I get you're fired up, but no one's been disrespecting the Eagles today, by the way. We had Big Dave call in, his diehard Cowboys fans think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns. And we had Phil in Pennsylvania thinks that they're going to win, what do you say, 27-16 or something? Everyone's giving the Eagles a lot of credit. You could go, and I got to, like, let's be real here. You go, you know, roster spot for roster spot between the Eagles and the 49ers. The 49ers are going to win a lot of those, too. They're two really talented teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to, in the end of the day, I said, you know, the season depends on the quarterback. And, you know, as you saw when Jalen Hurts wasn't on the field, it's just not the same team.
That's true.
Wait, Vinny, I've been looking at this wrong. I don't agree about the two Super Bowl teams. Because everybody who's on this Super Bowl team is younger and in their prime on that Super Bowl team.
Name a couple factors that you would disagree with.
Well, first of all,
give me three players on the defense that you would rather have versus then.
I mean, I have to imagine.
Hassan Reddick?
Fletcher Cox. No, he's saying then as compared to now.
Oh.
I think that Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham were better then. I'm assuming because they were younger. That's my only sort of point. The other thing is Alshon Jeffrey was a nightmare for the Patriots. So I do think there was a lot of talent on that team. And Lane Johnson was in his prime as well. I hear you. But I don't think that team lacked in talent before.
No, they were excellent. And Vinny, thank you so much for the call, dude, and good luck to your Eagles.
They had a lot of advantages over the Patriots personnel-wise. They just matched up great.
They were cycling in defensive linemen.
Yeah,
was better than the next getting after Brady.
And they have a very similar cycle in defense. But they had Fletcher Cox in his prime. They had, and obviously the receiver, they
Brandon
scored 41
Graham,
points with Nick Foles.
Brandon Graham sealed it for you. I mean, the fact that the Patriots somehow had 500 yards of offense in that game is still a mystery because the Eagles defense was so good.
Well, the Eagles defense was good, but the offense destroyed the Patriots. They were firing all cylinders there. And particularly, Alshon Jeffrey was good. I understand. A.J. Brown is really good. Devontae Smith's really good. But I like what you said. The Niners also could look at their roster from a different lens and say, maybe they're more talented, except a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, go toe-to-toe. And really, they're just not asking Purdy to do. He has to make like 5 to 7 good throws.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the Eagles have probably a higher-ranked offensive line, but the Niners have Trent Williams, so...
Who's the best, probably, overall.
Yeah.
You know, because Lane Johnson deals with a lot of injuries.
Well, yeah, and he's on the right side, too. But the Niners defense has all these big stars. Yeah, I mean, we're going to do our picks tomorrow, but I'm all about that Niners defense.
So, if you were going to stack it up, so today we get more positive news from Mahomes about the ankle, right? So, keep talking about... Do we have some from today? Yeah, let's play it.
I'm doing good, you know, AFC Championship week, ready to go.
How's the ankle?
It's doing good, you know. I've had a few days of treatment, a few days of rehab. Excited to get on the practice field and kind of test it out and see where I'm at, but it's feeling good so far.
Pardon me, that was from yesterday. We have some Jalen Hurts talking about his shoulder, because obviously these are the two big storylines going into the weekend, Mahomes' ankle and Hurts' shoulder. Let's hear from Hurts.
I felt better, but don't really matter. You know, it's gotta get it done.
So you have Mahomes, who's basically like, nothing to see here. Everything's good. And you have Hurts, who's being a little more honest, like, hey, it's felt better, you know? And the fact that we know that they're both not 100%. Which one do you think is going to end up mattering more?
Oh, Mahomes by 10 miles. Honestly, Mahomes might feel great now, but what if he takes a hit? What if he has to really run around?
Same for Hurts.
Yeah, but Hurts has already played a bunch of games with the injury, and you saw what he could do, and he can throw. Yeah, I don't know. I have a much bigger concern with Mahomes. I think there's a reason Mahomes moved the line.
Yeah.
Hurts is, the line's been set on Philadelphia, San Francisco, not moved much. What's your answer?
Well, I don't think it's just a slam dunk that it's Mahomes. Because, like, even on one leg, Mahomes was effective against Jacksonville. Now, you know, I think the Cincinnati defense is going to be a little smarter than the Jacksonville defense was, but.
And it's a lot better than
Jacksonville. But, you know, Hurts, if he takes a big hit, and then it's your throwing shoulder, so you don't want to expose him to any more, you know, more injury, but it's also on the arm that you need to deliver the football. You can't just keep handing the ball off and handing the ball off. I don't know. I mean, it seems like Hurts, you know, he was able to protect himself against the Giants, but that wasn't any big, you know, that game was over before it started.
Yeah, I mean, he did carry the ball 9 times, which is a lot for a quarterback.
Yeah, but it was different kind of runs, you realize.
Yeah, but still a lot. There was at least 5 design runs.
I know, but that was the book on the Giants all season long. You could run on the Giants with, that was their one major Achilles heel besides the fact they had no receivers.
Listen, if Chad Henne can come in and save the Chiefs, you don't need, against the Niners, you don't need Patrick Mahomes. I think Minshew, if he had to come in, could still give the Eagles a chance. Honestly, I'd love for Hurts to be completely healthy. This is going to be a conservative game. I know the Niners can score a lot of points. I don't see a shootout in any means. I think it's going to be ball control. Don't screw up. Don't make any mistakes. Could you see that kind of game playing out where Hurts is not going to have to do quite as much?
No, because I think San Francisco is game planning for that. You know, I think they are going to make him do. I think they're going to make him win the game. 100%. Sorry, I was just thinking about something. I saw this funny article. We're talking about people and their injuries and kind of like keeping your body right. Did you see this one about this guy who's like a multimillionaire? He sold a company to eBay for like $800 million. He's 45 years old. And now he's on a quest to like live forever. Kind of like a Brady thing, but it seems like way more intense. So it's this tech guy who's on this super strict health regimen. So here's what it is. He wakes up every morning at 5 a.m. and takes 24 supplements.
Oh.
And he works out for an hour. Drinks green juice laced with creatine and collagen peptides. Then he brushes and flosses his teeth while rinsing with tea tree oil and antioxidant gel. Before bedtime, he wears glasses that block blue light for 2 hours. He's constantly monitoring his vital signs and undergoes monthly medical procedures to maintain his results, including ultrasounds, MRIs, colonoscopies, and drug tests. He's doing a monthly colonoscopy? What is going on? While he's sleeping, he's hooked up to a machine that counts the number of nighttime, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. He takes daily measurements of his weight, body mass index, body fat, blood glucose levels, and heart rate variations. Wait, he's trying to live forever.
I'm sorry, nighttime what?
Oh, boy.
Going to the bathroom?
In the neighborhood.
wait. Nighttime, other kind of things?
This is what this guy's doing.
Is he 12?
He's 45. He's 45. And apparently,
and he's a millionaire. I don't want to get into the mechanics of that, but that's like a regular thing for this guy.
What does it matter how long he's going to live for?
I guess it's like a sign of something. Vitality. I have no idea. He also has a strict vegan diet. He eats 1,977 calories per day.
What if he goes
to
one
the
over?
T. Just,
I mean, does that ruin the whole thing?
Devastation.
Yeah.
He does high-intensity exercise 3 times a week, goes to bed every night at the exact same time.
Wait, he only exercises 3 times a week?
High intensity 3 times a week, but he works out every day. Maybe the other's like yoga, Pilates, something like that.
He flosses, so that's
he
good.
He does floss. It's really important.
His dentist will be happy.
Yeah, that was
his tennis is super happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. I'm a huge flosser.
I'm the LeBron James of flossing.
Yeah, yeah. That makes me the Anthony Davis of flossing.
And Ackerman? Russell Westbrook of flossing?
I'll take it.
No, that's not good.
That's not good.
No, I meant it as a compliment, though.
Does Perloff just injure himself all the time, like pulls a shoulder or like, yeah. You know,
won a bubble title for my teeth.
For your teeth. $2 million. That's what he's spending it on. $2 million. He's 45 years old, but chronologically, he's 35 in every organ.
It sounds like the old quote from Braveheart. Every man dies. Not every man really lives. This man is trying to live forever, but what's his
daily? Quality of life?
I mean, what is this?
I mean, his organs are 35. He's feeling great.
Sure, but I mean, this regimen he has to go through, like, where's the fun?
I don't know. They tweeted out or they put out a picture of his dinner. It doesn't look fun.
Yikes.
It's just like broccoli, cauliflower, and mushrooms on one side and like lentils.
Is he totally yoked?
Yeah, he's yoked.
Can I see a picture? Hold on.
Yeah. There you go. He's got a weird face. He's definitely also doing some plastic surgery, which they did not mention. But yeah, like he's shredded. He's got like an 8-pack. Yeah. Anyway, take care of your body, kids. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'm wondering, does it extend, like, does he not ski, no hot air balloon rides, no scuba diving? Like, you can't spend all this money on your body and be like, and I'm also a Formula One racer. Like, it wouldn't make sense, you know?
I'm not getting the vibe of, like, Along Came Polly. Remember the movie with and Ben Stiller with the risk assessment?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this guy's going through.
Yeah. $2 million, but it's a lot of work. All right. Well, we've got to get to a topic near and dear to Stu's heart. What did we watch last night? The weirdest ejection of all time. We got this CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We've been talking about the biggest storylines going into this weekend, no doubt. Mahomes' ankle, Hurts' shoulder. Let's go to Roger. He's in Lake Havasu City in Arizona, wants to talk about it. What's up, Roger?
How are you guys? I haven't listened to you much, but I've started this last month and really enjoy the show. So thank you very much. You guys cover a very wide variety of topics, like how long is a guy going to live if he has a bunch of money? That's kind of cool.
He's going to live forever, of course.
I know. I would feel bad for the guy if he got hit by a car or something like that.
That can't be how he goes out. Actually, Jeffrey in the chat, we're on youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Jeffrey says he also saves his toenails in baby food jars, which is a great callback from yesterday.
I agree. It's the quality of life, not the quantity sometimes, that I agree with that. But anyway, my question to you, both of you, or maybe I'd like to chime in, is with those kinds of injuries that are kind of out there right now going into the playoffs, what is your thoughts on the backup quarterbacks in case that were to happen?
Yeah, well, Roger, Perloff thinks Gardner Minshew can come in and be Nick Foles. Well, Thank you for the call.
I think everybody thinks Minshew's one of the top two or three quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks.
He didn't play that well, though, when Hurts went out. He wasn't, like, awesome.
He was pretty good. I mean, it scored 34 against the Cowboys. It's pretty good defense. That's not bad for a backup.
They lost that game, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, still, he made a couple mistakes, but... Still, I think that a lot of teams would be thrilled to have Gardner Minshew as your second string.
Oh, definitely. But I'm saying this year, it didn't seem like he... Like, I didn't come away from that being like, man, Minshew's definitely going to be a starter somewhere next year.
No.
It felt like that was going to... That opportunity, it felt like, was sitting there in front of him. I mean, I guess you got to say, of all the backup quarterbacks, you got Chad Henne, Minshew, obviously Brock Purdy, we know, is already on the third string. Josh Johnson is behind him. And
is Brandon Allen still the backup? I don't even know who's Burrow's backup.
Cincinnati backup.
Is it Brandon Allen still? Anyone?
Who do I trust the most? Well, probably Purdy.
No. I mean, of the backups.
Of the backups. Yeah. Probably Minshew.
Yeah, Brandon Allen. Although he's played some meaningful minutes, so it's not the worst.
You got to say, Henne, I mean, on that 98-yard touchdown drive, acquitted himself well, but I don't know what the Jags were doing there. I think they were caught off guard a little bit, couldn't really change the defense, couldn't really get after them in a way they probably should. Let's go to Chad, who's in Montana. What's up, Chad?
What's up, Maggie?
How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Excellent.
So I just started listening to you guys' show about a month ago, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
Thank you. What do you got on Aaron Rodgers, bud?
What do you think the possibilities are he goes to the Commanders?
They interesting.
Got the offensive weapons for him.
You know, it's funny. We don't talk about the Commanders at all when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And you want to know why, Chad? I think that a sale of the team has to happen before Rodgers would seriously consider it. You don't think so, Perloff?
No, I don't think.
Chad, thank you for the phone call. Thanks for finding us.
Player in the NFL who cares who owns the Washington.
And why are we talking about Washington with Rodgers?
I think Washington's been in some odds because they think that Packers won't trade him in the NFC.
Yeah.
So the Niners, I told you in the break, I'm into Rodgers going to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
The teams that have gotten odds from the NFC are the Niners 1, the Seahawks 2, Commanders are on that list, and the Bucs.
See, I can't tell if that's a smart thing or not, right?
They're on the list for everybody. Basically, you're seeing there's about 10 teams who need quarterbacks.
Right, right.
And so they're all getting listed in everybody's odds.
Yeah, I mean, is Carolina on there too? He has no connection with Frank Reich, but they obviously need a quarterback. What I can't tell is if that's smart, right? Do you say, listen, we're not going to trade him in the NFC because we don't want him to come back and beat us in a playoff game or something, but at the same time, you're closing yourself off to half the league. Like, what if someone could come in and really blow you away with a great, package of picks and players? Like, why would you close yourself off to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think back to Favre. They got rid of Favre to the Jets, and then look what happened. He was back in their division a year later.
I know.
So that's the other fear.
A lot of good that
So did. What difference does it make if he goes 1 year to some AFC team? I agree. We just want the best package because I don't think the Packers, okay, is it worst nightmare? Say he goes to Tampa and wins a Super Bowl next year. Does that make the Packers upset? What's the difference?
I don't think it matters.
I totally agree. Just get as many picks as you can.
That's what I would think. All right, we haven't done this in a while, but Stu's wearing the jersey, so let's hit it.
Rage and bait.
So, of course, today, 3 years, right? 3 year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant. So obviously, sending peaceful thoughts to his family on this very, very tough day. The Lakers were playing last night and LeBron James was being heckled.
Hey, Brian, you better get this together. Is that receipt not airline? Look, he's mad. Look at him. You sick.
That dude's laugh. It's like got a little Krusty the Clown in him, doesn't he?
Wow, that was an incredibly clear audio. What was it? Was that guy mic'd up for a second?
Yeah, he was part of the broadcast. Lakers Lakers beat the Spurs last night. LeBron had another big game because he just feels like he's on a mission right now to get that Kareem scoring title. Like, just let's get this as fast as we possibly can. Am I reading that?
Nope, that's pretty perfect.
Right?
I was thinking about this. Does LeBron feel like he's in Kobe's last year where he just tried to score knowing they weren't going to win? Feels a lot like Kobe to me because the other night when he scored 48 and they lost by 20, I didn't even know why he was in the game.
Yeah, but the thing is, I guess he only had 20 last night. He had 40 the other night,
right? 48.
Yeah. Sorry, he only had 20 last night, but only 20, 11 assists too.
You're right. I think it's the record. I think he's playing extra minutes and scoring more points than he needs to because he doesn't care about winning a title this year. He just wants to get this record out of the way.
Yeah, but the one thing about Kobe was like the end of his career, right? Like, LeBron's coming back. He's under contract with the Lakers.
Yeah, but I would even say the last 2 or 3 years of Kobe had that vibe where a title wasn't really in the cards.
Yeah.
Am I misremembering? I don't think Kobe kind of knew at a certain point it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious. Do you think LeBron's at that point now? I think you're right. I think the record is a goal.
Not the big Rui Hachimura trade?
Yeah.
That's not going to put you guys over the top, Stu?
Well, I think it's just now to get to the playoffs, right? Isn't that the goal?
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Right now, let's see. In the standings, Lakers are out of it. 13th place in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, I think Hachimura is just trying to get at least in the playing game or 6 or 7. But I don't know. I think
Anthony Davis is back now, so that's good.
I think you're right. I think LeBron is focused on getting that record.
Yeah, because it's going to
get it out of the way.
I mean, but we talk about this a lot more with like baseball records about how guys are like on the precipice. Like we saw Aaron Judge this year trying to hit 62, and it's like, you know, you get a little cold at the plate. Guys don't want to pitch to you because they don't want to be a part of history, and then it can start to hang over everybody. I mean, I'm sure these basketball records are the same way.
But the funny thing is, I don't know. Did anyone care when Kareem set them? It's such a silly record. Most points.
Silly record? I think it's huge.
Is it Karl Malone like second on the all-time list? I don't think so.
Well, was. Now he's third. Yeah,
that's yeah. Yeah, LeBron is second on the list.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Malone was the top two players of all time. I don't know.
Think of the amount of buzz or whatever, the amount of craziness they made about Steph Curry breaking the three-point record.
I thought that was odd, too, because I can't tell you who.
Allen. It was Reggie Miller and Ray Allen were the guys, like, they showed up at the Garden and, like, and Steph Curry broke the record. I was like, man, I don't remember this being that big of a deal when Ray Allen broke the record from Reggie.
Like, who's the all-time leading rebounder?
Wilt, probably?
Yeah, I have no idea. Probably. Who's the all-time? Wait, assists, I think we know, right? That's Magic? No, that's Stockton.
It was Stockton was the assist.
Yeah, and that, I don't know.
I remember that being a semi-big deal. I actually remember the pass. It was like a bounce pass to Malone in the post that he, like, fumbled,
caught it
back up, and then turned around and fade away.
Yeah, I just think that NBA has a little NFL feel where now everybody's scoring so many points, a lot of records are about to fall.
Yeah.
You're right, the Steph Curry one was a complete overreaction.
It was like tons of buzz around that. Do you see Steph Curry got ejected last night?
Yeah.
Threw his mouth guard into the front row.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was probably grateful that something happened that he could get out of this coma that is the Warriors' regular season.
Yeah, I think it's a little championship hangover.
No, I think everybody in the NBA is bored out of their mind, and I think that this was something. So Jordan Poole's, do you see his post-game interview?
No.
He's like, yeah, I don't think, he basically, he's like, well, so why was Steph Curry ejected? He's like, Steph Curry was ejected? He didn't even notice.
Oh my God. You just gave that guy all that money. He doesn't even know. I mean, listen, they won the game. Beat the Grizzlies.
Please wake me up after the NFL season. This is a disaster of an NBA season. Even my Sixers beating the Nets.
That was a fun game last night because I thought the Nets were going to come back on him and beat him. The crowd booing Simmons, the commitment to the boo of Ben Simmons, though. I applaud you guys.
You didn't find that game incredibly boring?
No, because with 6 minutes left to go, the Nets had actually cut the deficit down and became a game. Kyrie was doing some crazy moves out there, too.
That game was he's a total bore. The Sixers were playing with their food and could have turned it on at any point.
Yeah.
They couldn't cover Embiid.
Well, there's no Kevin Durant playing for the Nets, and that's what this all comes down to. He's injured, unfortunately. But
they'll both be out by the end of the second round anyway, so it's a moot point.
I'm not going to give the number because we got to go. Thank you to Mike Samter, to Stu Kovacs. You guys in the chat, amazing. Brian Robinson from the Commanders joined us earlier. Romeo Doubs from the Packers joined us earlier. They had so many incredible things to say. Go download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. Check us out on YouTube, and we'll see you tomorrow.